Turn with me to 1 John 2. I'd like to read verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We've already learned, and I keep pushing this because it's very important to understand when you come to 1 John. The Gospel of John. John writes to let us know how we receive eternal life. We receive eternal life by believing. Whoever believes has eternal life. And he keeps saying that all through the book. And how people miss that, I don't know. And that's the only book that's written for the very purpose of telling you how to receive eternal life. That's the book. And that's what John says. We don't find repentance in there. We don't find baptism in there. We don't even find asking to have your sins forgiven in there. I keep hearing people. Heard one this morning. Everybody listens to him. He had them asking God to forgive your sins, and oh my, that's not what John said. No? Well, anyway, when we come to the epistle, the first epistle, he's writing that to tell us how we can have fellowship with this God. See? Fellowship in 1 John, salvation in the Gospel of John. Now, I have something to maybe help us understand that. I'm going to give this $10 bill. Just two fives to somebody, if he believes. Do you believe I'll give you this?
Sure.
Okay. If you believe it, you get it. You believe it?
Yes, I do.
That's yours.
I believe I accept it as a gift.
Good. That's a gift. It's yours.
Fine.
Keep it. Now, what I'd like for you to do, though, is to fellowship with me. We want to get together here. Well,
great.
I'm going to be preaching the word. I want you to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, sit right there where Fred's at. We'll fellowship, right? And you'll listen to what we're saying, and we'll just fellowship together in the word. Okay. Good. Here we go. All right. Now, what we've been doing is, in this study of 1 John, we've been talking about the basic principles of fellowship. And John has said, walk openly before the Lord, in the light of God's revelation, and be prepared to acknowledge when you don't. You know? Be prepared to confess your sin. We're talking about fellowship. And when we fail to do that, then we should not be overwhelmed by our sin, but we should rely on the intercession of our advocate, Tutu, and realize that he will forgive us our sin. And of course, that's what he's talking about in chapter 2 and verse 2. Now he moves on toward the goal of fellowship, that is, the knowledge of God. You're not in fellowship. Where's the $10? Still got it.
Yeah.
Oh, the free gift is still yours, whether you fellowship with me or not. Oh, now I understand. You see? We have eternal life. If we fellowship, we enjoy the fellowship of Jesus Christ and his Father. But when we don't have the fellowship, we still have the eternal life. It's his. I made him give me 10 at first so he can keep it. Uh-oh. John, pay attention. I got something for you in just a minute. Okay? So, now we want to know, what is the goal of this fellowship? And the goal of this fellowship is the knowledge of God, to know him. And that's what he's talking about in these four verses, 3 through 6. How can we know that we have come to know him? That's what he's asking. That's what I'm asking you. How can we know that we have come to know him? The true knowledge here is in verse 3. He says, by this we know. Now wait a minute. Who is we? It includes the writer, doesn't it? Certainly includes the writer. It includes the readers, but it includes the writer. John. By this, John says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Now, believers, including John. So the book is written to believers. We know him. Who's the him? Well, it could be the Father. It could be the Son. Maybe it's purposely ambiguous. We know him. How do we do this? Well, we know that we have come to know him. Not salvation. You know this by now. Some teach that if you don't keep his commandments, then you're not saved. Well, you hear this all the time. I mean, well-meaning people. I mean, people on the radio, people on TV. That thousands listen to them, and they got it wrong. That is not what he's saying. Is not saying that you keep his commandments. If you keep his commandments, then you'll remain saved. No. John doesn't teach that. And he doesn't allow that. Now, common sense tells you this. How do you know if you're saved? Why, have you believed? Can you tell if you believed? Do you know whether you believed or not? Anybody knows? Common sense says, I know if I believed. The old song says, I know that I have believed. Well, we know that. We can know that, and common sense tells you, you can know whether you believe. And John says, if you believe, you have eternal life. In the biblical sense, you can have this. When Jesus came to Martha, remember Lazarus died, and Martha came out, and he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And she said, very good statement. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. Yes, I believe. She knew that she believed. Well, he went on to a blind man in John 9:35. Jesus healed him, remember? And he went to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees said, he doesn't know anything. You are not healed. How can you be healed? I'm healed. All I know is once I was blind, now I see. That's very simple. But you Pharisees don't know that. And they said, oh, no, you were born of sin. Why? Well, because you're blind. You must have been sin. You're born in sin. You're telling us? He said, oh, no, I believe. I believe in him. Well, Jesus came along and found him later and said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And he says, I'm it. I'm the one. And then he says, well, I'm not sure whether I believe or not. I hope I do. No, that's not there. That's the seller's version. No. He didn't say, well, I have to wait to see if I keep the commandments, and then I'll know. No. You know, people talk about assurance of salvation, and then they say, well, you have to keep his commandments. If you stop keeping his commandments, then you'll stop being never were saved or whatever. Yeah. Do you know when they know they're saved? When they go through those pearly gates, they don't have any assurance of salvation until they get there. This man said, Lord, I believe. That was it. In chapter 9 of John, verse 38. So, the blind man believed. Martha believed. The disciples. John 14. I have to translate this. So you'll understand it. I was in Dallas for 4 years, so I know how to say a plural you. Now, people say you all. That's not you all. That's for the movies. You say it, and I'm doing this with the Arkansas people here. You know what he says? If y'all had known me, it's y'all, it's not you all. Y'all, if y'all had known me, then y'all would have known my Father also. And from now on, y'all know me, and y'all have seen me. Right? That's what he's saying. That's how you translate that. John 14. So he told them that. And then Philip said, show us the Father. And he said, have I been so long with y'all, and yet you, singular, Philip, have not known me? You have not come to know me? See, there's a sense then in which the disciples, Even the disciples, they knew him as Savior, of course. They believed. They'd been with him for 3.5 years. They knew him in that sense, but they didn't know him. See what I'm saying? There are different ways of knowing. We do this in our English too, you know. We say, someone said to you, "Do you know President Bush?" "Well, no, I don't know him." "You don't know who the President of the United States is?" See? "Yeah, oh, well, yeah, I know him. I know who he is." That's knowing him, see? Or you might say, "I'm acquainted with someone." You know, I know in that sense. I told Jim and Sylvia, "I know Dr. Ryrie." And he was president of the college I went to, and then went to Dallas, and he was there as well. I knew him as an acquaintance. I've been in his house. He hasn't been in mine. Thank the Lord. But I know him in that sense. So when Jim and Sylvia saw Dr. Ryrie, they said, "You know Norm Sellers?" "Oh, yeah, I know Norm Sellers." See, that's an acquaintance. I know him specially, in a special way. If we're members of the same church, we know each other. We've been in each other's houses. We fellowship with each other. We work with each other. We help each other. That's a different kind of a relationship. That's having something in very close common. I can be friends with someone even on a higher level than that. Then, I'm married to someone. I know her much better, and she knows me. See? You know what I'm saying? No, we use the word no, K-N-O-W, in various ways. And so we need to understand, when you see the word no in the Bible, find out what he means by that. See, the test here is not concerning our saving knowledge, but our experiential knowledge, see, our fellowship with him. Now, he says, if we keep his commandments. Now, what commandments? Oh, got to keep the Ten Commandments. No. No. They're gone. Ten Commandments are gone. Done away. That's what 2 Corinthians 3 says. Verse 7 and 11 both say, they are done away. The law is gone. Don't try to hang on to it. It's gone. Hebrews chapter 7 says this, that Jesus is our high priest. And then he goes on to explain, now wait a minute, Jesus was not born of the tribe of Levi. And under the law, the tribe of Levi was the priesthood. Now if that's still around, then Jesus can't be high priest because he was of the tribe of Judah, right? So he can't be high priest. So you have a choice. In Hebrews chapter 7, choose. Do you want Jesus as your high priest, or do you want the law? You can't have both. Done. Gone. And I have to keep hammering this. Not here, because you've heard it enough. But you have to keep hammering it because people want to keep on to the law. Chapter 8 is very clear in Hebrews. Verses 8 through 13. He quotes from Jeremiah 31. The new covenant, and he says, this new covenant has replaced that old covenant. It's gone. So we're not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments. My commandments, if we keep his commandments, verse 3 says. What are his commandments? Well, his commandments, we hear the word, what I have commanded you in Matthew 28. I'm going to talk about that a little later in detail. So, keep his commandments, Jesus' commandments. Now, what do you mean keep? Well, the English word keep does a good job of translating the Greek. To watch over, to guard, to carry out, those things. Then there's even a little different nuance there with the Greek word, which says to be observant or to be careful of. That's what he's saying. To not just to know about them, not just a mere performance, but an attitude of obedience. Having concern for, being attentive to the Word of God, is what he's saying. Then, and only then can we know. If we keep his commandments, then we'll know that we have come to know him. We are in fellowship with him. Now, there's a false claim, verse 4. He who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he's telling a lie. John, what do we call people who tell lies? They're liars. See, John, right from John's mouth right here. Well, this John says the same thing. Whoever says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Well, what do you mean the truth is not in him? Well, doesn't mean that he can't tell the truth at all. You know, we had somebody from Arkansas on the national scene some time ago, and somebody said about him that if his lips are moving, he's lying. Well, maybe so. I don't know. In any case, this one is a liar. But he would tell the truth about something. You ask him his name, he would probably tell you the truth. See? So John's not saying that he never tells the truth about anything, but as far as this goes, he's a liar. And the truth about this subject is not in him. Then, how do we know then, point two, how do we know then that we are in him? Well, he says, verse 5, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Whoever keeps his word, that's the same word as in verse 3. Commandments, word, same thing. I don't mean the same Greek word, but it means the same thing. The body of truth that's been given to us, committed to the church, that, if we believe that, if we obey that, then we are truly the love of God's perfected in us. We'll see it. Now, what do you mean commandments? Well, Great Commission. The Great Commission, some people have it in four parts. It's four commands. No, it's one command. One command, make disciples. That's what Jesus told them to do. Make disciples. Now, how do you make disciples? Well, you make disciples by going, first of all. You have to go where they are. We've turned it around these days, and we've invited them in. And they won't come into what we're doing now. They won't come into Bible teaching. So let's cut out the Bible teaching, and we'll have have some entertainment. Let's bring the world in, and then we'll get the world in. Well, that's not going to change anything or anybody. In any case, Jesus said, go where they are. Go. By going, or as you go, and then you make disciples, baptizing them, get them saved, get them baptized. And then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What are the commandments of Christ? The things that he commanded us. And those are the things that we teach. See? We're teaching all things that he has commanded us. Now, there are some commands in 1 John. Ray called me and said, what about these commands? What are they? And I found some last night. I found it in the Reign of the Servant Kings. And here, I'm just going to name them, because Ray doesn't have them there. Got to love the brothers, 2:10. Walk as he walked, 2:6. Be strong in the faith, 2:14. Do the will of God, 2:17. Hold the truth we learned at the first, 2:24. Not hate our brothers, 3:15. Keep his commandments, 4:24. And then also in the gospel, 15:10. Love one another, 4:12. And publicly confess, 4:15. So there are some commands that he gave. And he says, keeping his commandments. We keep his word. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, on the day of Pentecost, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What do you think they were teaching? The commandments of Christ, of course. And they were teaching them, and they were continually teaching, not entertaining again. Now, the result of the teaching was love. You know, you hear people say, oh, we ought to love one another. And they go out, you ought to do this. And I knew a man who did this, and another man, another woman. All kinds of things. Skyscraper sermons, one story after another. And they're not teaching the Word of God. If we teach the apostles' doctrine, then love will come. Love is a result of that. In Acts 2:44 and 45, following that, says, And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Wow. What's that a result of? That's a result of the apostles' doctrine. See? Loving one another just comes automatically when we do that. And then later, 1 John chapter 3, John's going to talk about that. Loving your brother. And how does it come about? Well, by telling them to love, no. But by teaching them the commandments of Jesus. So, when we do that, when we keep his word, the love of God is perfected in us, he says. Jesus said in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Now, here's what comes out of all of that. We have to have the commandments first. You can't keep the commandments of Christ unless you have them, unless you learn them, unless you know them. That's first. Then we have to keep them. If we keep them, then God will love us in a special way. God so loved the world, of course, but he loves in a special way those who keep his commandments. And then he will disclose himself to us. We will know that we know him. Right? So that's the way we come to know him. That's how we know. We know that we are in him by this. In verse 5. By this we know that we are in him. Now, what do you mean in him? We're saved. We're in him. Well, we'll see about that. Sometimes the word by this, and John uses it quite often, sometimes it refers to something previous. Sometimes it refers to something that he's getting ready to say. This one is backward. It looks back. In other words, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. We know that because his love is perfected in us. That's how we know we're in him. Now, what do you mean, in him? Ah, this is the real crux of the thing. What do you mean, in him? Well, not the same as Paul's term, in Christ, that you find in 1 Thessalonians 4. Not that. In him occurs 77 times in the New Testament. 77 times. I looked at every one. All 77 of them. And I have a program, Logos, a Greek program. And I haven't done much with it, but I know a guy in Nebraska, one of my former students. He does wonders with that thing. So I called him the other day and said, "Tell me how to do this. I want to look at all these in Christ." And a few keystrokes, and there it was. And he said, "Just punch F3 every time, and it'll change." And I went F3 all the way through 77 times looking for what does it mean in Christ, in him. And in him, I found this. Not once does it refer to salvation, a state of salvation. Not once. 77 times, and not once does in him mean you're saved. No. In him talks about fellowship. It means... here, I think, what Jesus said when he talked about the vine and the branches. He says, every branch, verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." Abiding in him. Just like abiding up here. Abiding, being where he is, thinking his thoughts, in his word, keeping his commandments. That's abiding in him. And so that's the in him. When we are abiding in him, that by this, we know that we are in him, in fellowship. Now, to whom was Jesus speaking when he talked about the vine and the branches? Well, he's talking about the apostles. They're believers, see? So he's telling the believers that you can abide in me. Another thing other than knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. So his point is this. A disciple must abide in his master just as the branch must abide in the vine. And to be cast out from the branch means to lose that disciple-master relationship. That's what he's talking about. The third item is this. How do we abide in him? Well, this is a little cliche-ish, but let me say it anyway. If we're going to talk the walk, then walk the talk. That's what he's saying. There's nothing wrong with claiming. Nothing wrong with claiming I am abiding in Christ. I have a little suspicion that you wouldn't want to go around telling everybody, hey, I'm abiding in Christ. What are you doing? I'm abiding in Christ. Well, I don't think that's the way we ought to do it. But we ought to be confident in ourselves. I'm abiding in Christ. It's possible. It's necessary if we're going to serve the Lord well and be in fellowship with him. So, if you're going to make the claim, he says, then you are expected to do what it says. You ought to walk the talk. Now, that word ought there can be translated, it is necessary. There are three words that can be translated, it is necessary. This one is, in fact, all three of them are found in Hebrews 2, by the way. You can look at them. Thee and Ephrepin and Ophele. But this one is the ophele, which means to the more, it's a moral necessity. If you're going to say you're in fellowship with God, I'm walking in fellowship with him, then you have a moral necessity to be walking in him. Right? That's what he's saying. If you're abiding in him, abide in him. If you don't, then it's a hollow boast, it's a lie, and the ones who tell lies are called liars. So, the question here is not, do you know Jesus as your Savior? That's a good question. It's a good question to ask anywhere, anybody. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The question is, how do you know Jesus Christ? Or do you know him as saving knowledge, a free gift? Or do you know him experientially? And we need to talk to ourselves about that. Am I walking in with the Lord? Am I in fellowship with him? Do I know him like that? Have I come to know Jesus Christ? That's the question he's asking. Have I come to know Jesus Christ? Am I obeying his commands? Is his will in my life the most important thing that I do? Most important thing I think about? The will of God in my life. Fellowship with him. Abiding in him. That's what John's asking us to do.